2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 to 18. I'll begin reading the odd verses, and congregation, please respond with the even verses. Verse 7. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand. But let him who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I'm sorry, I read your verse. I like that one. Let's prepare our hearts for the authority and approval of the ministry, the message.
Those of us who have ever spent any time in the classroom will tell you the most difficult part of teaching is when students challenge the authority of the teacher. Those of us who are parents will identify with it and say, yes, the same with parenting. The most difficult part about parenting is when our children challenge our authority. Now we come to the final section of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And we find that Paul is pouring out his heart and his soul to his children in Corinth. And what do we see when we peek into Paul's heart? What do we see when we peek into his soul? We see that his anguish and love come flowing down together. This is what we see when we read this passage, verses 7 to 18. What was happening is, Paul was talking about the false teachers that had infiltrated the church, so dear to him. And these false teachers are accusing Paul of a number of things. For one thing, they are saying that Paul is a self-appointed apostle. In other words, he placed himself in such a position of authority, and therefore, he's not a real apostle, and therefore, he doesn't deserve the real authority of a true apostle. What else are they accusing Paul of? They are accusing Paul of his undermining the authenticity of his teaching. They are saying, don't follow his teaching. Instead, only our teaching is to be accepted. Only our teaching is to be followed. You know, Paul was teaching about freedom in Christ. And these false teachers, some commentators are saying, they are from Jerusalem. They belong to the, what they call Judaizers. They belong to the old, the reactionary, the old conservative faction in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers. They come and tell the Corinthian, the Gentile Christians, you need to be like Jews first. But Paul is saying, no, we are free in Christ. We are free from the law. And these false teachers are challenging and undermining Paul's teaching. Instead, they are saying, follow us. What else are these false teachers challenging Paul of? They are accusing Paul that he is a man of no integrity. Remember, I always say, if you take away a man's integrity, you're taking away everything that he has. If a leader comes to you and proven to be a man that has no integrity, no one will follow him anymore. No one will believe him anymore. And that's what these false teachers are doing. They are saying, you know, this guy Paul, he will say one thing, but he will mean something else. He will promise you one thing, but he had no intention of ever following his promise. They are undermining his integrity. They are undermining his teaching. They are challenging his authority as apostle. What else are they saying? This Paul is a moral coward. In other words, they are saying he only bare his teeth only at a far distance. He's only doing that to scare you into submission. But when he does come in person, he has no teeth at all. It's all bark and no bite. He is what I used to call a paper tiger. You see, all these evidence, they are saying, are pointing to the only one conclusion, that this Paul has no credential. And since he has no credential, he has no right to exercise any authority over you. You all follow me. You all follow us, instead of following this man by the name of Paul. Now, can you imagine that kind of reason? We're going to have Sunday school in about an hour. Can you imagine you teaching first grade, and all your first graders, okay, I don't know how precocious they got to be, they got together and they decided that this Sunday school teacher has no authority over us. Can you imagine what that would turn into? And these chapters in 2 Corinthians, Paul is placed in that kind of situation, and Paul is answering their charges. And from Paul's life and from Paul's reaction, we get a very clear picture of what a true servant of God ought to be. And what Paul did and how he did it has a lot to teach us. Because we are also, in our own ways, in our own position, in our own place, called to be God's servant just as well. Even though our tasks are different, even though the scope of our calling, the people that we may influence are different from Paul's. But each of us, just like Paul was given a ministry to do, was given a service to the Lord in the church. And these last two passages can be most helpful to us as we continue to finish our calling. We follow the footstep that Paul has left behind us. And if we can do that, we also can minister in a way that God can place a stamp of approval on us. It is about authority, it is about approval. How do we exercise authority that's given us? And even more importantly, how do we know that we have a stamp of approval on us? What footsteps can we follow? What did Paul do? How did he face those challengers? We notice right away that Paul was not timid. Paul exerts his authority, not loudly, not arrogantly, not screaming like a mother who's been challenged and she couldn't handle it anymore and she just went off the wall and berserkly and overbearingly scream at the children, "You follow me." No, Paul did not do that. Neither was Paul apologetic. Neither was Paul sheepish. He was not timid. He was not frightened. But with confidence, with firmness, Paul exerts his authority. And how can you do that? What made Paul so confident that he is asserting his authority? You're going to go into your classroom in an hour. What gives you that confidence that you have that authority over that group of students? For one, right away Paul knew that he is in Christ. Now you say, that is difficult without saying. We are in Christ. But what does that mean here? Paul is saying, I belong to Christ our Lord. Look at verse 7. Shall we read this together again, please? Verse 7 tells us together, please, you are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. Does this ring a bell? belonging to Christ. Do you remember way back in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, especially in verse 12? You see, the church of Corinth was split into many fragments, into many factions. And one of those factions was a Christ party. Do you remember that church in first chapter? They were saying, I follow Paul. Some were saying, I belong to Cephas. Some were saying, no, I belong to Christ. Who are these Christ party? They are what we call the super spiritual in the church. They are passionate. They are passionate for the Lord. But the problem is, their passion for the Lord is immature. Passion is necessary. Without a passion, a person just going through the motion of being a Christian. Passion is necessary, but immature passion is terribly dangerous for the church. Those who are passionate spiritual infants, there's a tendency for them to think too highly of themselves. Those who are immature but passionate, they tend to think that they are the only one that are godly in the church, and nobody else is. Those who have immature passion tend to think that they are the only one who are spiritual and no one else is. They tend to think that they are the only one that belong to Christ, nobody else does. And I see a lot of that in young people. I remember way back in the 80s when I first started the ministry, and I was working with the youth, with the English speaking, and they are younger. And we often come together and we often complain together. We often look at someone else who is in leadership in church, and we always question, oh, is that person saved? That person is not even saved. You are saying that that person should not belong to any position or service or ministry, because we don't think that person is saved at all. We were young. We were immature. And by God's grace, we hope that we have grown and mature a little bit more. Young people tend to be like that. They are passionate for the Lord. If young people have no passion, who has passion? But the problem is, young people have that immature passion that need to grow into maturity. You see, immature spiritual passion makes such a passionate infant think too highly of themselves and too lowly of others. And we see that it was happening in this church in Corinth. They thought too highly of themselves, and they thought Paul is of little consequence. But yet Paul is saying, I'm standing up and I'm exerting my authority. And Paul is saying, I belong to Christ just as much as you do. Paul's confidence to exercise authority is based on his certainty of his position in Christ. You go teach, even to little children. You may be a very young teacher. You might be only a few years older than your students. But it is not your age. It is who you are in Christ Jesus that gives you that authority for that field, for that 8x10 room, for you to exercise that authority to nurture the life of these dear students. Now, what evidence do we have to authenticate that a person is in Christ? I mean, anybody can claim I'm in Christ. Anybody can claim that he is a Christian that belongs to the Lord. But what evidence is there to authenticate that you or he or I am in Christ? You look at the fruitfulness of the life. Jesus said that a lot of times. A new life in Christ cannot be hidden. A new life in Christ cannot be masked. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Paul said that to the Corinthians before. And a new creation in Christ, that new life cannot be covered, cannot be hidden. And this new life naturally shines forth by bearing good fruit in their life. Next time someone comes to you and exercise and exert authority over you, you check and see if there's any evidence of the life of Christ observable in this person who is exercising authority. Is the strength of the Lord in him? Is the power of the Lord in him? Is the joy of the Lord? Is the peace? If the love and humility, patience, kindness, gentleness, how about discipline? How about faithfulness? How about dependability? Those are the good fruit that a new creation in Christ naturally bears. It might not be all at the same time, but there's got to be one or two little fruit that stands out that you can recognize. That fruitfulness is the evidence that authenticates that this person is in Christ, that belongs to Christ. And therefore, if God has given him the authority to him to exercise that over me, I need to follow. Evidence is there, and he is worthy to be followed. And if there's no evidence, and he claims to exercise authority, that claim is counterfeit and need to be rejected. Paul claims authority over them, and does Paul have evidence of this life of Christ in him? Obviously, it's observable, it's seen. We exert spiritual authority in areas that God has assigned us, and is authenticated by evidence of the life of Christ in us. What else? Not only by the fruitfulness of our personal life, our authority is authenticated by the result of our work. Not only by the evidence of fruitfulness in our life, but by the fruitfulness of your work. Look at verse 8, please. Shall we read this together again? Verse 8. Together, please. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not apologetic. I'm not ashamed of being an authoritative figure over you, because look at the fruit of my work. You are built up. You are not being torn down. You look at the result upward. Is the church stronger or is the church weaker? Is the unity of the believers being built up or is the unity of the believers being destroyed? Is the church more pure from the worldliness of the world, or is the church more muddier by being in the world? Is Satan's influence in the church stronger or less? Is the church growing more contentious? Is the church growing more divisive? Is the church growing more fragmentary? Or is the church growing more loving and forgiving? Is the church growing more unified with one goal and with one aim? Those are the results of the person's work. And that authenticates whether his authority is from the Lord. Paul says, look at the result of our ministry among you. You are being built up. The result is constructive rather than destructive. And that authenticates my authority. Here's a good test of our exercise of authority. Right? By the fruitfulness of the person's life as well as by the result of his work. Now look again in verse 9 to 11. We see how else Paul uses his authority. He uses it consistently. It's my favorite word, because I always want to remind myself and remind everyone, the key word is really consistent. You do one thing right once in your lifetime, that's good, but it's not good enough. Very little result. But if you do something right consistently, you will find that you leave behind a legacy of good work. Let's read verse 9 to 11, please. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. You see, we can see a good indication of how Paul's adversary, how Paul's accuser are belittling Paul. They are priding themselves in their ability to speak. And these adversaries use oratory skills that were popular at that time, popular in that culture. That is a trademark of their falsehood. That's a trademark these false teachers depend on. Their speaking was designed to extract money from the listener. And Paul's manner of speaking is totally the opposite. Paul spoke plainly, free from any artificiality, free from any pretension, free from any mask and make-believe, and even more important, free from charge. So Paul did not speak for his own profit. Paul purposely put away those academic pretensions, purposely put away those superficial wisdom, but he used straightforward language to present the gospel message of Christ. Christ crucified to set men free from their sin. Christ resurrected that he may exercise his lordship over men. And Paul is saying, you Corinthian has come under that lordship of Christ. And for those who belittle my simple way, those who belittle my unsophisticated ways of proclaiming the gospel, those people need to be prepared for my discipline when I come. They can expect the same severity when I'm there as when I'm away writing to you. You see, here is one principle of parenting. Paul is parenting God. The most important principle of parenting. It is true everywhere, it is true every time. Children respect consistency. If we claim parental authority, we say we're going to discipline you, the child is doing something wrong, and we say that a million times, and we never carry out our words of discipline. You know what the child is going to think? The child is going to think, I couldn't care less about what you say. Because you're never going to do what you threaten to do. I couldn't care less. It is when we clearly set boundaries and we spell out clearly the consequences. And when children cross that boundary, we carry out the consequences just as he said, just as we said. Children respect that consistency and submit to that authority. And that is what Paul is doing with his Corinthians. He was parenting them. He set boundaries. He spelled out the consequences. And he carried it out. And that is why he dared to exert his authority, because he knew he will carry it out consistently. And it's true in every situation. And this principle applies at home, applies in our ministry. We are given authority to exercise, given by the Lord, in whatever area. We exert what is given to us, not overbearingly, not lording over those that we shepherd, not arrogantly. We don't need to scream. We don't need to throw tantrum. But we exercise authority with confidence and with firmness, and yet at the same time with humility, knowing that authority comes not from ourselves. We exercise authority with grace, with graciousness, and with the goal of constructing and not destructing. That's what Paul is teaching us as we exercise authority. Now Paul goes into assessment, measurement. Who is going to grade our ministry? And how are we to be graded? Who is going to put a stamp of approval in what we do? In even little tasks that we're given? Whose approval matters? Whose criticism matters not? Whose praise matters and whose praise matters not? That's a critical question, isn't it? It's the most critical question that we who serve the Lord need to answer. We must be ready to answer. One of the greatest threats to any ministry is a problem of insecurity. We all had to wrestle with that, perhaps even when we were younger. Am I doing a good job? Would people in church know that I am doing a good job? I work so hard, shouldn't I be noticed? I work so hard, shouldn't I be thanked? I work so hard, shouldn't I be recognized? Don't we all wrestle with that? shouldn't the church say to me every Sunday, "Oh, we owe you so much. Oh, where could we be without you?" Servants of the Lord, who is insecure in what he does, will forever looking for praises, will forever looking for approval from men. And if he cannot find it, he will fish for it. I call it fishing for company. He will set it up. He will set it up in a situation that the next thing that you say is going to be words of commendations and praise and thanks. Measurement, assessment, evaluation, those are necessary. But how do we do that? And what shall be the standard of measurement? In verse 12, it tells us how false teachers grade themselves. Let's read verse 12 together. Shall we together, please? We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves, they are not wise. When they measure themselves by themselves, where they compare themselves with themselves. Now, what does that mean? Paul is referring to those false teachers in Corinth. They gave themselves a grade of A+, and they gave everybody else a grade of D-. Now, how did they do that? They were doing that because they were behaving as though there is no standard of comparison higher than themselves. They set themselves up as the standard of perfection. They set themselves up as the standard of excellence, and there is no standard higher than they. And God is saying through the word of Paul, God is saying that is foolishness, that is not wise. Instead, what is God saying that is wise? Verse 13 to 18 tell us how we measure ourselves, or how we should be measured. First of all, ask yourself this question: am I where God wants me to be? Am I where God wants me to be? Am I where God has planted me to be? If this is where God planted me, let me bloom, and let me flower, and let me bear fruit. If this is a place, God placed me. Let's read verse 13 to 14. Shall we together, please? We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going to in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Pay attention to the phrase, to the field God has assigned it to us. See, the worst way to measure our ministry is comparison. There's a huge mega church only 8 miles from us. You take Algonquin Road, you go west, northwest, 8 miles, you will find a huge campus. They don't even call it a church, they call it a campus, like a university campus that's that big. And people say, "Now, how come your CBC NWS isn't like that?" You know what? God does not measure us on the basis of somebody else's gift, on the basis of somebody else's opportunity. God measures us according to the gift and the opportunity that he has given us. You remember the 21st chapter of John, the last chapter of the gospel. The Lord had just restored Peter. Peter has been so useless, at least he thought of himself as that, because it was right after his worst failure. He denied the Lord 3 times when they counted the mold, but he failed. But the Lord came back to him and restored him. And he said to Peter 3 times, "Do you love me more than these?" And you remember how Peter answered? Peter said, "Of course I do. No, Lord, you know I do." And then what did the Lord Jesus say to him? "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep and feed my sheep." Now that is the field that the Lord assigned Peter. But then Peter turned his eyes away from his own field. And he saw the other disciples. John said the disciples that Jesus loved. I think he was talking about himself. He did not name himself. I think that was John. And Peter asked, "What about John? What about him?" You know how the Lord answered him? "What is that to you? What is that to you? you follow me, you work in your own field, you bring the harvest according to the productivity of the field that I have given you. And all I ask of you, Peter, is that you are faithful to which I have entrusted you. Here's a principle about how we evaluate our ministry. Mind the field that has been assigned to you and keep your eyes fixed on the Lord's assignment. Do not compare yourself with what the Lord has given others. And that surely will help us strengthen our sense of security in the Lord. Another way that we can use to measure our ministry is, ask yourself this question: is the Lord glorified in my ministry, or am I fishing for compliment for myself? Is the Lord glorified in my ministry, or am I fishing for compliment for myself? Let's read verses 15 to 17 together. Shall we please? Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about our work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts in the Lord. Let the boasting be given to the Lord. Let the glory and honor, praises be given to the Lord. You remember John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to the Lord, and Jesus talked to him about being born again. But right after that, there's a little passage. You talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was baptizing in Jordan, and the disciples and other people came to John and said, John, you remember that guy? You remember the cousin of yours? You remember you baptized him? In other words, at that time, you were his superior, and he was baptized by you. But you know what's happening, John? He's baptizing too. And everybody is going over to him. In other words, you're losing your sheep. Everybody's going over to that guy named Jesus. You know what John said? John said, he must increase, and I must decrease. John said, I'm only the groomsman. He is the groom. Let all light shine on him. Let no spotlight be on me. Can we do that? When we minister, when we serve, are we prepared to serve and to minister nameless? After all is said and done, are we prepared that no one remembers us? No one remembers even your name, except the name of Christ Jesus. Now I was thinking, you know, by God's grace, one day we're going to be moving out of here. Right now it might seem a long way away, but it may not be that far. Because I was saying, if everybody come together at the same time, the same place to worship or for fellowship, you know, we are really filling this place to the brim too. Be prepared. One day we need to leave here. And the pressure is, even though this building is worth a lot, there's another piece of property that we'll be moving to. But we need to put a down payment that exceeds the amount of what we get from this building. Maybe we are short by $250,000. I'm just thinking a number. Where do we find that number? We're gonna find a down payment. Let's say we have 1 month, 30 days, and to come up with that down payment. Where do we find that? Some churches, they would say, okay, let's solicit donation, encourage one another to give. You give $50,000, that's enough to furnish a chapel. We will put your name on the chapel wall, dedicated to the glory of God and to the memory of so-and-so. That's one way of self-glorification, but tacking along the coattail of Christ. Just an example, I was thinking of. Are we ready to give? Are we ready to sacrifice? Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to minister? Nameless. Those who are willing and ready, those are A-plus in God's eyes. The third question that we need to ask that can help us evaluate our ministry is, can what we do win approval from the Lord? Can what we do win commendation from the Lord? Let's read verse 18 together. Shall we please? For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Let it be remembered by all of us who serve and minister. You know what really matters after all is said and done is what does the Lord have to say about your teaching, about your work, about your leadership? What does the Lord have to say? Those of us who are troubled with insecurity, every time somebody criticizes us, we get resentful, we lose heart, and we quit. And then when people praise us, we get very pleased, and our head gets bloated, and we think again too highly of ourselves. Those are evidence of, I don't know, let me call a little symptom called insecurity. But those who are secure in the Lord, regardless of how people respond, regardless of how people react, he serve and minister, he teach, he give, with only one focus in mind, asking, what does the Lord have to say about this? And that's all he cares. And if that person can honestly come to the Lord and say, I do this to win your approval, that's a man of security. You look at that man and you say, I respect you. I want you to lead. I want you to serve. Look at these three questions. What does the Lord have to say? Is the Lord glorified? Am I where God planted me to be? If I am where God planted me, stay and bloom and flower and bear fruit, trusting in God that He will give us that approval. Let's continue to serve with confidence, growing in the Lord, in our security in Him. Let's sing a song together. I think my hope is built on nothing less than Christ Jesus and His blood and His righteousness.
下是读经的时间。经文是在哥林多后书第十章七节到十八节，新约圣经的256页。
经文是在罗马多哥林多后书第十章第七节至到第十八节，是在256页。
新约圣经256页。找到以后，我们用起音的方式来诵读这段经文。
找到之后，我们用起音方式读这段经文。
讲台会用会读单数节。
讲台是用单数的字。
会众请读双数节。
会众请读双数的字。
哥林多后书第十章第七节到十八节。
哥林多后书第十章第七节至第十八节。
哥林多后书第十章第七节，你们是看眼前的吗？倘若有人自信是属基督的，他们要再想想，他们如何属基督的，我们也是如何属基督的。 我说这话，免得你们以为我是写信要权，要威吓你们。这等人当想，我们不在那里的时候，信上的言语如何如何，见面的时候形势也必如何。我们不愿意分外夸口，只要照着上帝所亮给我们的界限，够到你们那里。我们不倚仗别人的劳碌，分外夸口，但指望你们信心增长的时候，所亮给我们的界限就可以因着你们更加展开开展。但夸口的是当指着主夸口。愿神祝福的话语，以下时间交给牧师。
我哋当中教过学嘅。
我们当中教过学的，
你会说教学最难的是这样的？
我们会说教学最难的是这个。
最难是当学生不服老师的权。
最难的时候是当学生不服老师的权，
向老师的权挑战，
向老师的权挑战。
我们当中做父母的，
我们当中做父母的，
你说我很明白，
你们会说很明白。
做父母最难都是同一样，
做父母的最难的也是同样的。
儿女不服父母的权，
儿女不服父母的权，
向父母的权挑战，
向父母的权挑战。
我们现在来到哥林多后书最后那几段，
我们现在来到哥林多后书最后的几段，
我们看到保罗将他的心他的灵完全流露出来。
我们可以看到保罗将他的心将他的灵完全的流露出来。
我们看到保罗的心灵，我们会见到什么？
我们看到保罗的心灵，我们可以看到什么呢？
我们在这几章里面看到保罗的受和爱一起流露出来。
我们看到保罗的受和爱一起流露出来。
他的受是什么呢？
他的仇是什么呢？
因为在哥林多教会有那些假老师假教师，
因为在哥林多教会里面有那些假老师，
控告指控保罗很多事，
控告指控保罗很多事情。
第一，他们说这个保罗是自己委任自己做这个使徒的。
首先他们说保罗是自己指示他自己做使徒的。
如果是自己委任自己的呢，就没有使徒的权的。
如果是自己委任自己的，就没有使徒的权利。
然后他们又指控保罗什么？
然后他们又指控保罗什么呢？
说他那些教导那些说话不真的，不准确的。
说他那些教导是不真的，不准确的。
既然那些教导不准确的，你们不用跟他的，不用听他的。
既然那他的教导不是正确的，你们就可以不用听，不用听他们的。
现在又再指控保罗，
现在又在指控保罗，
说这个人那个本性不是老实的，
说他的人的本性并不老实。
他说一句话，但是做另外一样东
西。他说一句话，但是他做另外的行为。
他答应一样东西，其实没有心去执行的。
他答应一件事情，但是并没有心去执行。
然后再指控保罗，
之后他又在指控保罗，
是一个很懦弱的，是一个没有腰骨的人，
说他是一个很软弱的没有腰骨的人。
他很远写封信来张牙切齿，
他是很远写封信来张牙切齿，
只不过是来威吓你们的，
只不过是来威吓你们的。
他真正来到你们面前的时候，
他真正来到你们面前的时候，
只有8声没牙的，
却只有声音没有牙，
用指剪出来的老虎来的，
是用指剪出来的老虎。
这所有证据都是说什么，这个保罗啊没有资格的，
所有的证据都是指保罗没有资格，
没有权在这树在你们面前做使徒，
没有权在你们面前做使徒，
没有权你们可以应该去服他的，
没有权让你们去服他啊，服从他。
假教师说你们个个跟我们，
假教师就说你们可以你们跟我。
那你可不可以想象到了
你可以想象得到，
现在对面很多小朋友上主日学，
现在对面有很多小孩子在上主日学，
一年班二年班那一班那些学生现在走在一起，
一二年班的小学生他们现在走在一起，
他说现在这个主日学的老师啊没权的，
他们就在这边说现在那个主日学的老师没有权的，
假的，我们不用服他的，
是假的，我们不需要服从他。
你想象一下现在出对面会有怎样造反，
你想象一下对面是怎么被造反了。
在这最后这几章，临后这几章，
在这最后的这几章，
保罗就回答这些挑战，
保罗就回答了这些挑战。
从保罗的回应，从保罗的生命来说，
从保罗的回应，从保罗的生命中，
我们可以看到一个真实主服侍奉主的仆人，
我们可以看到一个真实的侍奉主的仆人，
他应该存什么心态，
他应该存着什么的心态，
他应该存什么态度去侍奉主，
他应该用什么的态度去侍奉主。
保罗所做的教导我们很多功课，
保罗所做的教导我们很多功课，
因为我们每一个人都是被呼召侍奉主嘛，
因为我们每一个人都是被呼召去侍奉主。
任命虽然不同，
任命虽然不同，
范围虽然不同，
范围也不同，
或者我们所做的影响力不能够比得起保罗，
或者我们所做的影响力不如保罗，
但是我们每一个人从主的手里面都承受了任命的，
但是我们每一个人都从主的手里承受了任命。
这几章圣经里面给我们很多的帮助，
这几章圣经给了我们很多的帮助，
鼓励我们怎样能够仍然的持守完成主给我们的委任，
教我们怎么可以仍然持守主给我们的任务。
好像保罗在我们前面走过，
好像保罗在我们前面走过，
留下了一些脚印脚踪，
留下了脚印脚踪，
我们跟着走，
我们跟着走，
照样主的赞许都抌个印在我们的圣功生命上面的，
照样主会在会有盖印在我们的圣功上面。
那你看保罗怎样回答了，怎样反应了，当他的权被挑战的时候，
保罗怎么回答当他的权被挑战的时候呢？
保罗站起身继续执行他的权柄，
保罗站起来继续执行他的权柄，
他不用很大声地出去大叫，
他不需要很大声的大叫，
也都不用很骄横的很勉强的，
也不需要很骄横的很勉强的，
也都不用好像很做霸王一样去指人去督人，
也不需要像霸王一样去指使人，
但他也都没有自卑自谦，
但是他也没有自卑自谦，
也都没有好像抱歉性这样讲话，
也没有很抱歉的这么说，
相反的他很有信心的，
相反的他很有信心的，
他坚守不放的执行他的权柄，
他坚守不放的执行他的权柄，
他为什么能够有这么大的信心，这样能够站起身执行他的权柄呢？
他为什么可以这么有信心的站起来执行他的权柄呢？
因为他深深的知道他是在基督之内，
因为他深深的知道他是在基督之内，
他是属基督的，归属基督的，
他是归属于基督的。
我们再一次来看第七节了，
我们再看一下第七节，
我们再一次一起来读第七节，大家找到吗？
我们再一起读第七节，
给大家一两秒钟找到吗？我们一起来读第七节，大家请。你们要看眼前的吗？倘若有人自信是属基督的，他要再想想他如何属基督，我们也是如何属基督。保罗在这处讲属基督归属基督，
保罗在这里说归属于基督，
提醒到我们临前第一章，
提醒了我们临前第一章。
你记不记得哥林多教会是一个很破裂的分裂的教会的，
记不记得哥林多教会是一个很分裂的破碎的教会，
分裂了很多派与派一起在斗一起竞争，
分了很多派，不同派在那边斗争。
你记不记得有一班是说我们跟保罗的，
有一班人是说他们跟随保罗，
另外一班说我们跟基法，就是跟彼得的 Cephas 的，
他另一班就说他们是跟着彼得的。
你记唔记得还有一派叫做我哋系属基督嘅？呢、这个耶保罗就系提到过一班。
还另外一派说他们是属基督的。
呢啲属基督派系形容咩弟兄姊妹咧？
这个属基督派是形容什么兄弟姐妹呢？
系形容在教会里边嗰啲自认为超级属灵嗰一班。
是指那些在教会里面觉得是自认为是超级属灵的那一帮。
他们满有热心爱主的，
他们蛮有信心爱主的。
但是最大的问题就是他们热心爱主的热心是不成熟的。
但问题是他们热心爱主的那个热心是 并不成熟的。
在教会在信徒生命里面热心一定是必须，
在教会的教徒生活中热心是一定必须的。
但是不成熟的热心反为对教会是一个很大危害的。
但不成熟的热心反而是对教会一个很大的危害。
为什么呢？
为什么呢？
这个很热心的属灵的婴孩，他们很容易有一个这样的想法。
一个很热心属灵的婴儿，他很容易有一个想法，
看自己看得太高，
看自己看得太高，
看别人看得太低，
看别人看得太低。
他们说只有他们是属灵的，
他们认为只有他们是属灵的，
其他所有的弟兄里面弟兄姊妹里面没一个是属灵的，因为比不上他们。
他们认为其他 兄弟姐妹都不并不属灵，都因为没有他们都比不上他。
只有他们是爱主的，其他个个都比不上，所以他们不是爱主了。
只有他们是爱主的，其他人都比不上，所以他们是不爱主的。
他们说只有他们是归属基督的，其他那些都不知道是属什么的了。
所以他们认为只有他们是归属基督的，其他人都不知道是
这些属灵的幼稚啊，被他们看到自己太高，看到别人太低。
这些属灵的幼稚让他们看得自己太高，把别人看得太低。
在哥林多教会正正是有这样的坏现象，
在哥林多教会正正有这种坏现象，
看自己看得太高，看保罗看得太低，
看自己看得太高，看保罗看得太低。
保罗挺起身，
保罗挺起身，
执行他的权柄，
执行他的权柄。
他说你们属基督的，我一样是归属基督的。
他们说你们属基督的，我也一样是归属于基督的。
保罗施行他的权柄那个信心，
保罗施行权柄的那种信心，
是因为他深深知道他在基督耶稣里面他的位置。
因为他深深的知道他在属于基督权柄里面的那个位置。
但是你问那个人啊，如果他自称他是归属基督的，
但是你问一个人，如果他自称自己是归属基督的，
有没有证据证实得到啊？
有什么证据可以证实得到呢？
人人都可以开口说我是在主内的，
人人都可以开口说他们在主之类的，
人人都可以说我是归属基督的，证实在哪里？证据在哪里？
人人都可以说他们是归属基督的，但是证据在哪里呢？
是在他生命里面有没有见到好的果子结出来，
是在他的生命中有没有见到好的果子结出来。
一个新的生命，在基督里面的新生命隐藏不到的，掩不到盖的。
一个在基督里的新生命是隐藏不了的。
保罗写信给哥林多前书那处，
保罗写信给哥林多前书那里，
若哥林多后书第五章，若有人在基督里，他就是新造的人。
如果在哥林多后书
在基督里，
如果在基督里，
他就是新造的人，
他就是新造的人。
在基督里新造的人不能够被遮盖的，
在基督里新造的人不能被遮盖的，
自然有主的生命，有主的亮光流露出来的，
自然会有神的生命，神的亮光流露出来。
所以下一次有人到你的面前，
所以下一次有人到你的面前
对你说我有属灵的权柄，
对你说他有属灵的权柄，
你要考验一下，去观察一下，
你要考验一下他，观察一下他
这个人的生命，
这个人的生命
有没有这个新造的主的生命那处流露出来，
有没有新造的主的生命的流露出来，
有没有主的权能在他生命里面，
有没有主的权能在他的生命中，
有没有属灵的果子结出来，
有没有属灵的果子结出来，
有没有仁爱的果子结出来，
有没有仁爱的果子结出来，
有没有喜乐的，
有没有喜乐，
有没有恩慈的，
有没有恩赐，
他有没有良善流露出来，
有没有良善流露出来，
信不信实实的，可不可靠的，
信不信实，可不可靠呢？
容不容易发脾气的，因为他是一个温柔的人啊。
容不容易发脾气，还是他是一个温柔的人？
有没有节制的？
有没有节制的？
可不可以靠得住的？
可不可以靠得住？
这就是 在主内的证据，
这些就是在主内的证据。
有这些证据，他的权柄是值得我们跟随。
有这些证据，他的权柄就是值得我们跟随的。
但是如果没有生命的证据，
但是如果没有生命的证据，
就算他说他有权都是假的。
就算他说他有权，他也是假的。
保罗在哥林多教会面前执行他的权柄，
保罗在哥林多教会面前执行他的权柄，
他的生命有没有流到主的权能和主的生命？
他的生命有没有流露出神的全能神的生命呢？
很明显的，哥林多教会个个都看到的。
很明显的，哥林多教会每个人都看到的。
所以我们执行主给过我们属灵的权柄，
所以我们执行神给我们的属灵的权柄，
而且是在主的生命在我们里面成为证据，
而且是神的生命在我们当中成为证据。
还有我们怎样可以证实得到这个人的权柄是从主而来的？
还有我们怎么可以证实这个人的权柄是从主而来的呢？
看一下他工作的效果，
看一下他工作的效果。
不单止他自己生命的属灵的果实，
不单止他自己生命属灵的果实，
而且他的工作的效果，
而且他工作的效果。
我们一起来看第八节，
我们一起来看一下第八节。
请大家一起来，我们到第八节，大家看到吗？
第八节，
大家请。主赐给我们权柄是要造就你们，并不是要败坏你们。我就是为这权柄稍微夸口，也不至于羞愧，是要造就你们，建立你们，
是要造就你们，建立你们，
不是败坏，就是不是说破坏你们，破碎你们，
并不是败坏，破坏，破碎你们。
一个人说他有属灵的权柄，
一个人说他有属灵的权柄，
你看看他做工之后那个后果是什么？
你看一下他做工之后的那个效果是什么？
教会有没有因为他的圣功强壮了，抑或软弱了？
教会有没有因为他的圣功而强壮了，或者是衰退了？
信徒之间的合一有没有建立啊？因为有没有破碎？
信徒之间的合一有没有建立，还是说是破碎了？
教会有没有从人世间的污泥里面更加清的净的洁的长出来呢？
教会有没有在人世间的中更清洁的成长出来？
亦或因为他的工作使到教会黐埋更多泥？
还是说因为他的工作教会更沾上很多污泥？
撒旦的影响在教会里面有没有增加抑或减少？
撒旦的影响在教会中有没有增加还是说减少呢？
教会之间的以前那些闹交有没有现在闹得更多更剧烈呢？
教会之间的那个争吵会不会更多还是说更少呢？
抑或教会现在越来越增加彼此相爱彼此宽容？
还是说教会中更增加了彼此相爱相容
彼此合一
彼此的合
一？你看看他工作的后果，
你看一下他工作之后的后果，
是不是建立到信徒建立到教会？
是不是建立了教徒建立了教会？
抑或是破碎了？
还是说破碎了？
第九到第十一节，
第九到第十一节，
给你再一次看到保罗怎样执行他的权柄，
给我们看到保罗怎么继续执行他的权柄，
言行一致的，
言行一致的。
我们一起来到第九到第十一节，请大家一起。第九节，我说这话免得你们以为我写信是要威吓你们，因为有人说他的信又沉重又厉害，及至见面却是气貌不扬，言语粗俗的。这等人当想我们不在那里的时候，信上的言语如何，见面的时候行事也不如何。保罗敌对保罗的假教师啊，喺啲树点样自己以为自己叻啊？
在敌对保罗的那些假教师，他们在这里怎么表现他们自己的厉害？
佢哋用佢哋自己啲口才说话嘅嗱厉害。
他们用自己口才的厉害。
嗱，当时一个系好受欢迎嗰啲说话嘅技巧。
是当时一个很受欢迎的说话的技巧。
嗱，其实而家都系一样嘅。
其实现在也是一样的。
边个人讲出来讲得叻？
有谁说话说得好听？
人哋就以为吓呢个人梗系有料啦，梗系值得去听，梗系值得去跟啦。
人家就会以为这个人肯定很厉害，值得去听的。
假先知好多时候就用佢哋口才嘅能力啊嚟诱惑人啊。
假先知很多时候就用他们口才的能力来诱惑别人。
其实当时罗马时代啲人口才伶俐啊，其实系想搵钱赚嘅。
其实当时的罗马时代口才好的是想找机会赚钱。
保罗说话就完全不同的，
保罗的话就完全不同，
好没什么装饰的讲，
没有什么装饰的，
没什么假的冒牌的装样的来讲，
没有什么冒牌的假的装样子，
更不是用说话来赚钱，
更不是用说话来赚钱，
保罗不用那些人家以为叻的说话方法，
保罗并不用别人以为好的说话的方法，
好简明的，
很简明的，
没有装饰的，
没有装饰的，
宣讲福音的真理，
宣讲福音的真理，
宣讲被钉十架的主耶稣，
宣讲被钉十字架的主耶稣，
能够使人从罪里面得释放，
能够使人从罪里面得释放，
宣讲复活的主，
宣讲复活的主，
要做万人的主宰，
要做万人的主宰。
保罗说你们这一班哥林多信徒，
保罗说你们这一班哥林多信徒，
你都已经归服在基督的主权之下了，
你们都已经归服在基督的主权之下，
但是那一班呢，
但是那一班呢，
看低我讲说话能力那一班呢，
看低我说话的那一班人，
说我是从乡下出来的，
说我是从乡下来的，
那些人要预备我来的时候要执行的纪律，
那些人要预备我来的时候要执行的责任，
他们要预备好我写信几咁严厉，我来的时候的执行的纪律一样是这么严厉，
他们要预备好我写信的时候很严厉，我来执行权利的时候也很严厉，
其实保罗在处做他们的父母的，
其实保罗在这里是做他们的父母，
为人父母的原则啊完全一样的，边说都是一样的，
和为人父母的原则是在哪里都一样的，
儿女尊重什么，
儿女尊重什么呢，
儿女尊重言行一致的父母，
儿女尊重言行一致的父母，
我们做父母我们要管一下儿女，
我们做父母要管我们的儿女，
你的仔女坏了坏了，
你的小孩子坏了，
你说你再是这样受呢，我就拉你去坐监的了，坐谈判监，然后坐去 bathroom 他叫 time out 了，
所以如果你再这样的话我就要惩罚你，
你讲一百万次，
如果你说一百万次
只是说的，
如果只是说的，
从来没有亲过他耳朵进去，
从来没有揪着他耳朵进去的，
那小孩子会怎么想啊，
那小孩子会怎么想呢，
他说你 讲到你累了我都不睬你的，
小孩子就想你随你便怎么说说到你累了我也不管你，
何时小孩子尊重你的权威啊，
什么时候小孩子会尊重你的权威呢，
是当你好清清楚楚的划界限，
是当你清清楚楚的划界限，
讲明如果你超越这个界限你会有什么后果，
说清楚你如果超越这个界限会有什么后果，
然后当儿女超过那个界限的时候，
所以当儿女超过那个界限的时候
不用大声的，
不需要很大声的，
不用害的，不用捞的，
不需要吆喝，不需要捞，
去那里，
去那里，
即刻去，
马上就过去，
你不后悔不要出来，
你不会改的话不要出来，
你在里面怎样搞到天翻地覆好再坐久一点，
你在里面怎么闹都好就是再坐久一点，
那你什么时候才会尊重你的说话嘛，
这样子的话小孩子才会尊重你的话，
才会服你嘛，
才会服从你，
保罗在这里就是这样做父母的对待哥林多教会，
保罗在这里就是这样子做父母的对待哥林多教会，
他画了界限，
他画了界限，
很清楚讲明后果是什么，
很清楚的说明后果是什么，
然后他言行一致的他说我会这样做一定这样做，
然后他很言行一致的说他会这么做，他一定会这么做，
他这么有信心执行他的权，
他这么有信心执行他的权，
是因为他知道他会言行一致的去执行，
是因为他知道他会言行一致的去执行，
所以无论在哪里处在家在教会里面，
所以不管在哪里在家里还是在教会里，
我们从神的处从神的话里面得着了权威了权柄了，
我们从神的话那里得到了权柄，
我们不需要做霸王那样去指人去督人的，
我们不需要像霸王一样去指人去指人，
不需要很骄横的很硬的，
不需要很骄横很硬的，
但可以言行一致的，
可以言行一致的，
揸住信心凭住信心的
凭着信心，
有坚固的手，
有坚固的手，
但是加住谦卑的心，
但是加了谦卑的心，
恩赐的心，
恩赐的心，
有一个目标是什么呢，
有一个目标是什么呢，
为要建立不是要破碎，
是为了要建立而不是要破碎，
这次保罗这样教导我们执行我们的权，
在这里保罗这么教导我们去执行我们的权，
但是其余的章节保罗说什么？
但是其余的章节保罗说什么呢？
我们怎么去衡量我们的侍奉？
我们怎么去衡量我们的侍奉呢？
怎么去衡量我们的工作？
怎么去衡量我们的工作？
哪个人说我们是 A 啊，又是 C 啊，又是 F 啊？
谁说我们是 A 啊，或者是 C 或者是 F？
哪个人会赞赏？哪个人施行这个标准呢？写定这个标准呢？
谁会赞赏？谁会定这些标准呢？
我们侍奉主的，我们侍奉神的，要问这个问题，一个很重要的一个问题。
我们信奉主，侍奉神的，我们要很清楚地问自己这个问题。
侍奉的时候，一个很大的问题，一个很大的高难，很难跳过。
侍奉的时候是一个很难的高难要去跳过。
就是说，我说的 sense of insecurity， 就是没有一个安稳的。冇安定安稳的心，
没有一个安定安稳的心。
即系如果一个人冇呢个 sense of security， 冇呢个安稳嘅心咧，佢成日会问。
如果一个人没有一份安稳的心，他经常会问：
我做得好唔好啊？
我做得好不好呢？
我做得够唔够好啊？
我做得够唔够好？
教会里边啲人会唔会话啊？你做得好啊，或者你做得衰啊？你做得唔好啊？
教会你的人会不会说你做得好，或者说你做得不好呢？
冇安稳嘅心嘅咧，就成日会话啦。
没有一份安稳的心的人，经常会问：
我咁辛苦，付上咁多，
我这么辛苦付出这么多，
我唔应该俾人哋睇到咩？
我不应该被人家看到吗？
我唔应该俾人哋多谢咩？
我不应该被人家多谢吗？
我唔应该俾人哋提个名，话边个边个做过乜嘢乜嘢咩？
我不应该被人家提名，说做过什么东西吗？
更好心好心，冇呢个安稳心嘅人。
更好很，如果一个没有这个安稳的心的人，
他就说教会不应该每个礼拜都对我说：哎呀，我真的欠教会，真的欠你这么多这么多，如果没有了你，教会今天会到什么地步啊？
应该每个礼拜都教会都对他说，我们如果没有你的话会怎么办怎么办。
侍奉主没有这个安稳心的人，
侍奉主却没有一个安稳的心的人，
就会永不停止的去找人来赞他，
就会永不停止地去找人去赞赏他。
如果找不到，
如果找不到的话，
他会抛砖引玉啊，引人哋去赞他。
他会抛砖引玉的引别人去赞他。
点样衡量我哋嘅侍奉？
怎么衡量我们的侍奉？
我哋点样知道我哋所做嘅系值得，真系值得赞嘅？
我们怎么知道我们所做的真的是值得赞的呢？
第十二节，保罗提到错误嘅衡量。
保罗提到错误的衡量。
第十二节就是说那些假先知。
第十二节就是说那些假先知。
假教师这样来衡量自己的。
假教师他们是这么来衡量自己的。
我们看第十二，请大家一起来读。
我们一起看看第十二节。
大家请。因为我们不敢将自己和那自荐的人同列相比，他们用自己度量自己，用自己比较自己，乃是不通达的。不通达即是说不是有智慧。
不通达就是指没有智慧，
不是适合，不是适当，不啱啊。
是不适合，不正当的。
那些假先知用自己来量度自己，用自己来比较自己。
那些假先知用自己来量度自己，来比较自己。
意思就是说自己比自己 A+。
就是说自己给自己 A 加，
给晒其他所有人，所有的人的 D minus，
给所有人就是 D 减。
他怎么能够给到自己这么高分，给人家这么低分？
他怎么可以给着自己这么高分，给别人这么低分呢？
因为他们说在我以上呢，再没有更高的标准了。
因为他们说在他们自己以上没有更高的标准了。
他是完全的标准，他是越最好最上的标准。
他们是完全的最高最上的标准。
他们在上再没有其他更高的标准。
他们在他们之上就没有更高的标准了。
所以他们衡量是用自己来衡量，当然是对了。
所以他们衡量的时候用自己来衡量，所以肯定是都对的。
神藉着保罗的话，这个是极大的错误。
保罗借着神借着保罗的话来说，这是一个极大的错误。
相反，神话我们怎样衡量我们的侍奉呢？
相反，神说我们怎么衡量我们的侍奉呢？
13到18节。
第13到18节。
教导我们问我们三个问题，问我们自己三个问题。
教导我们问我们自己三个问题。第一就是
我们今天侍奉的地方工厂。
我们今天侍奉的地方工厂。
侍奉的岗位。
侍奉的岗位。
是不是神？是不是主 摆我哋喺嗰处噶？
是不是神，是不是主啊、摆我们在那里的？
系咪主摆我哋喺呢一度？
是不是主摆我们在这里的？
跟住嚟读第十三、十四节。
我们一起读第十三、十四节。
我们不愿意分外夸口，只要照上帝所量给我们的界限，沟到你们那里。我们并非过了自己的界限，好像沟不到你们那里。因为我们早到你们那里传了基督的福音。这一处呢，和合本译到谁明白什么叫沟在你们那里？我不明白
这里、有谁明白沟到你的那里是什么意思？
我就用新译本那处第十四节，新译本说，如果我们没有到过你们那里，现在就自夸得过分了。但事实上我们早就把基督的福音传到你们那里了。我想沟到，即是说到你们那个地方，
沟到那里就是说到你那个地方。
但是最重要的是这个词句，
但是最重要的是这个词句，
英文说 In the field God has assigned you， 即是神指派你去那个岗位地方。
意思就是说神指派你去那个岗位那个地方。
我们侍奉主，
我们侍奉主
最大的错误是什么？
最大的错误是什么呢？
与别人比较。
和别人比较
最大的问题是与别人比较。
最大的问题就是和别人比较。
好了，有时间无论有过去很久以前有人说，那我们现在在 Algonquin Road，
以前有人比较说我们以前在那个 Algonquin Road
向那里走八米路，
向那边走八米八米。
有一间超型的超级的教会，
有一家很型的教会，
他们不叫 church， 他们叫做 campus。
他们不叫 church， 他们叫 campus。
campus 就是好像一个大学的校园那么大，
就好像大学的校园那么大。
为什么你们浸信会不跟他们，不比他们啊？
为什么
比较啊？
为什么你们浸信会不和他们比较呢？
大家有没有记得？
大家有没有记得呢？
神不用别人所承受的恩赐，
神不用别人所承受的恩赐，
神不会用别人所有的机会，
神不会用别人所有的机会
来量度另外一个人、另外一个教会、另外一个侍奉人，
来量度另外一个人、另外一个教会、另外一个侍奉。
神量度我们，
神量度我们
是按照祂给过我们的恩赐，
是按照祂给过我们的恩赐，
按照祂给我们的机会，
按照他给我们的机会
来量度我们是不是忠心，
来量度我们是不是忠心。
大家记不记得约翰福音第二十一章？
大家记不记得约翰福音第十一章？
耶稣再一次委任彼得，
耶稣再一次委任彼得。
但彼得在主被钉十架的时候是最大的失败，
彼得在主被钉十字架的时候是最大的失败，
不认主三次，
不认主三次。
之后呢，他就好啊，无精打采啦，好啊，就再冇意思啦，系咪？
他之后就无精打采的，觉得没有意思了。
话自己冇用噶啦，冇用噶啦。
说自己没有用了。
但系主再嚟揾佢。
但是主又来找他。
三次咁多问佢，你爱我么？你爱我么？你爱我比这些更多么？
三次问了他三次，你爱我吗？你爱我吗？你爱我比这些更多吗？
彼得话：主啊，你知道我爱你，你知道，你知道。
彼得说：主啊，你知道我爱你，你知道，你知道。
然后主再重新的委任给他，给任务他。
之后主又重新的委任他，给任务他。
喂养我的羊，喂养我的羊。
喂养我的羊，喂养我的羊。
主耶稣就话彼得啊，这个是我摆在那处的你的界限。
主就是说彼得啊，这是我摆你在那里给你的界限。
但是彼得只眼呢，四周围望。
但是彼得的眼四周围看，
望到那处有另外一个门徒，
看到那里有另外一个门徒。
约翰福音说是主所爱的门徒，
约翰福音说那主所爱的门徒。
我相信他是指约翰自己，因为他自己写，他没有写自己的名字。
我相信那是牧师相信那是指约翰自己，因为他没有写自己的名字。
彼得就问主啊，主啊，那个又怎样啊？
彼得就问主啊，那个怎么办？那个怎么样呢？
耶稣对他说：他怎样关你什么事？与你有何干啊？
主耶稣就说：他和你有什么关系呢？与你无关。
主即系对彼得话：你喺我摆你喺嗰处嗰个工场嗰个岗位中心。
主就对彼得说： 我摆你在那个岗位那个工厂，
你按住你嗰处界限嗰个生产力俾我嫁天国里面好大嘅收获。
你就按照你的那个地方的生产力给我天国很大的收获。
我只是向你要求的，
我只向你要求的是，
就是我有委派你的，我交托你的，你忠心去做。
我所委派你的，交托你的，你的忠心去做。
这个就是我们衡量我们侍奉的第一个原则。
这就是我们衡量我们侍奉的第一个原则。
我们照顾主委托给我们的岗位工作。
我们照顾神所委任我们的岗位工作。
我们的眼是望住我们的岗位，主给我们的委派。
我们的眼就只看到我们自己，我们的岗位，主神给我们的委派。
不同别人，不同别处来相比。
不与别人别处来相比。
主既然将我们摆在这一个土地里面。
主既然将你摆在这块土地上。
我们就在这一处开花，我们就在这一处结果。
我们就在这里开花，在这里结果。
如果能够揸住这个原则的话呢，我们侍奉主啊，那个安稳心啊，会更强好多。
如果我们抓住这个原则的话，我们跟随主的那个安稳的心就会更长久。
或者我们要问第二个问题。
还有你要问第二个问题。
在我们侍奉里面呢，主耶稣基督得不得到荣耀称赞？
在我们侍奉中，主耶稣基督得不到荣耀，得不得到称赞？
因为我们是找人地来称赞我。
还是说我们是找人来称赞我们自己？
我们一起来读第十五到第十七节。
我们一起读第十五到十七节。
我们慢慢的细心读这长一些第十五节，大家一起。我们不仗着别人所劳碌的分外夸口，但指望你们信心增长的时候所量给我们的界限，就可以因着你们更加开展，得以将福音传到你们以外的地方，并不是在别人界限之内，藉着他现在的事夸口，但夸口的当指着主夸口，夸口的指着主夸口，
夸口的指着主夸口。
意思就是说，将荣耀，将人哋记住那个名啊，不是我，乃是主基督耶稣。
意思将荣耀，将那个名记住，不是归于你。而是归于主耶稣。
你记唔记得约翰福音第三章？
记不记得约翰福音第三章？
尼哥底母嚟见耶稣。尼哥底母。
尼哥底母。
尼哥底母。Nicodemus。尼哥底母。
尼哥底母嚟见主耶稣。
耶稣同佢讲：你必要重生之后。
耶稣对他说：你得到重生之后。
有一小段系讲到施洗约翰。
有一段，有一小段是讲到
施洗约翰。
施洗约翰，
施洗约翰仍然在但河同人哋施洗。
约翰仍然在伊但河给人施洗。
有人嚟对施洗约翰话。
有人对施洗约翰说：
喂，你知唔知道啊？你个老表啊！
你知不知道你的
耶稣咧？你同佢洗礼嗰个耶稣咧？你个表咧？表弟咧？
你记不记得你的表弟那个你给他施洗的那个耶稣？
他又在那里跟人家洗礼、哦、
他又在那里给人家洗礼，
人人个个都走晒去那处了、
哦、人人都去他那里了，
抢晒你的生意、哦、
把你的生意都抢走了。
你记不记得施洗约翰怎么回答吗？
你记不记得约翰怎么回答？
施洗约翰说他必兴旺。
约翰说他
必兴旺，
必兴旺，
我必衰微，
我必衰微，
他一定要显大，
他一定要显得大，
我一定要显低，
我一定要显低。
他是新郎来的，
他是新郎，
我只不过是一个伴郎来的，
我只不过是一个伴郎。
他说让我的光灯照在这个新郎的身上，
他说让这个光灯照在那个新郎身上。
我要在黑暗当中人家看不到的，人家不记得那个名字，
我要在黑暗当中别人不记得我的名字。
我们侍奉主有这样的心态，
我们侍奉主有这么心态，
是一个成功的侍奉，
是一个 成功的示范。
因为我们所夸口的不是我自己做什么，不是我的名字，不留名，
而是我们夸口的不是我们自己，我们不留名。
人家记得的是主的能力、大能和恩典，
人所记得的是主的大能、恩典。
我们侍奉什么岗位都好，
我们侍奉什么岗位都好，
我们能不能够预备都好，
我们能不能预备都好，
做完之后人家不记得我们，
做完之后人家不记得我们，
没有留名的，
没有留名字，
那个是成功的事，
那个是成功的事。
我一直想，
牧师就在这想，
有一样东西我们可以实行应用到的，
有一样事情我们可以实行应用到的，
就是总有一日迟早，
迟早有一天
教会 或者要从这处搬到另外一个地方，
教会要从这里搬到另外一个地方。
现在还有很多空位，
现在还有很多空位，
但如果两堂聚会一起，
但如果两堂聚会在一起，
个个一起回来一起聚会同一个地方的时候是坐满的，没不够地方的、
每一个人都回来，都从不同地方回来，教会就坐满了，没有地方。
那我们要找新地方去搬，
那我们就要找新地方去搬。
教会现在等楼值不少钱的，
教会现在有不少钱，
但是如果要去搬个地方呢，所需要的财务呢超过这间教会这个楼的值。
但是如果要搬的那地方超过教会现在所占的这个地方的钱，
譬如来讲要落单批文，要落首期，
比如说要给首期，
卖了这个教会都仍然欠200,000呢，
如果卖了这个教会仍然欠200,000，
30日之内要找到200,000做首期，
30天之内要找200,000做首期。
那你会怎样去拿到这200,000？
那么你会怎么用这去找到这200,000呢？
好大压力，
很大的压力。
咁又会咁会有人话我哋不如鼓励奉献啦。
肯定有人就说我们不如鼓励奉献吧。
但奉献50,000嘅。
但奉献50,000的。
咁啊足够装修一个副堂。
足够装修一个副堂。
但奉献40,000嘅。
凡奉献40,000的。
足够装修一个体育馆、体育场。
足够装修一个体育馆、体育场。
你奉献50,000，咁我哋有个牌喺嗰个副堂嗰处钉上去。
那来，你如果奉献超过50,000，我们就给你一个牌，钉上去。
为咗荣耀神。
为了荣耀神。
同埋记住边个边个。
还有记得谁谁谁。
Happens all the time. I see it. So many churches I go to, 去其他教会你会睇到噶。
去到其他教会都可以看得到。
To the glory of God.为了荣耀神 to the glory of God,
为了荣耀神
and to the memory,
还有纪念谁谁谁。
那我们现在做一个决定，
我们现在要做一个决定，
我们侍奉主，
我们侍奉主
有没有预备好，
有没有预备好
名，人家不记得，
别人不记得你的名字，
不用留名，
不留名。
很多教会是这样 to the glory of God and the memory of someone,
很多教会都会有这种
我见过，
见过，牧师见过。
神的祝福在那处没几耐，
神的祝福在那里不是很长久，
首期找到的，
首期就找到了，
但是很快之后神的祝福离开了，
很快之后神的祝福就离开了。
我们今天决定，
我们今天要决定，
我们侍奉主是要什么心态，
我们侍奉主要是要以什么心态去侍奉，
名不留
名不留名。
还有第18节，
还有第18节。
最后我们问自己这个问题，
最后我们要问自己这个问题，
我们所做的，
我们所做的
能不能够得到主的赞赏，
能不能得到主的赞赏。
你看第18节，对吗？
我们看看第18节，
大家一起。因为蒙悦纳的不是自己称许的，乃是主所赞许的。归根究底，最后什么是至紧要，
归根到底，最后什么是最主要的呢？
人的说话值得乜嘢啫？
人的话值得什么呢？
人哋谈有乜所谓？
人家谈你有什么所谓呢？
人嘅赞亦都值得几多？
人的称赞又值得多少呢？
归根究底，最后嘅系主嘅赞许。
归根到底是最后的是主的叫赞许。
一个侍奉主嘅人，佢嘅心态啊冇安稳啦 ，insecure。
一个侍奉主的人，他的心态不安稳。
听到一句弹嘅，
听到一句弹的，
或者人哋冇多谢啦，
或者人家没有多谢，
就唔开心，
就不高兴了，
就好快就放低啦，
很快他就放下，
好快就走啦，
很快他就走了。
而且如果听到人哋赞嘅，
而且听到如果听到别人赞的，
听到那个心好甜啦，
听到了就很甜，
个心越甜个头越大啦，
他心一甜，他的头就大了。
我真系叻啦，真系好啦，
他觉得自己很厉害，
嗰啲系失败嘅事。
那是很失败的侍奉。
我们侍奉主，我们能够抓住这个心态。
我们侍奉主，能不能抓住这个心态？
归根到底，主会讲乜嘢说话？
归根到底，归根到底，主会说什么话呢？
我们一个好好的教会，大家一起互相的彼此侍奉。
我们是一个很好的教会，大家在一起彼此的侍奉。
记住，主摆喺你手里边系一个主嘅话，俾我哋权柄。
记住，主给我们一个权柄。
主摆喺我哋喺呢一处，唔摆我喺第二个地方。
主摆你在这个地方，并不摆在其他地方。
系要我喺呢一处开花结果。
是要你在这里开花结果。
我哋问。
我们要问，
归根究底，边个系得到称赞？
归根到底，谁是得到称赞的？
好宝贝嘅说话为我哋嘅提醒。
很宝贝的话，为我们提醒。
我哋继续喺处侍奉主，彼此嘅侍奉。
我们继续在这里彼此的侍奉中。